We'll be looking at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 today, and also we're going to look at verse 94, because I want to look at the Word of God and how God uses the Word of God. The world that we live in tends to think that it's pretty wise. Even in the body of Christ, we sometimes buy into that. The world thinks it's wise. The world thinks it figures things out. The world thinks it knows. And we're at a place right now where so much of the world thinks that they know so much and understand so much that there's no credence given to God, there's no credence given to the Word. And science says this, or our estimations, or we figured out this. And if what they figured out or what they're able to determine is in any way contradictory to the Word, they just assume that they're right and the Word is wrong. And really, in the world, there's less and less credibility given to the Word of God, which is kind of funny, because the Word of God has stood as truth for generation after generation after generation, for thousands upon thousands of years. And even as more light, if you will look at science and if you'll look at the things that man discovers through the lens of the Word of God, instead of through the lens of your own natural wisdom, of man's own natural wisdom, if you'll look at it through the lens of God, you'll actually see that the Word is right and the Word is true in all things. You can even take small things. In physics, there's what's known as string theory. String theory is probably the latest. When I say latest, it's been about 25 years that's been growing. But it's getting closer and closer to looking like it might be one of the theories that kind of unifies, you know, all the theories into one theory. So they can understand both the quantum world, the smallest little parts of the world, the subatomic level of physics, which appears to be different than the macro version, as we just look at how our Earth, as we see things, how the planets work, how the universe works. Those two things appear to be at odds. They seem to operate under different laws by appearances. But string theory looks like it's one of those theories that might be a unifying and bring it all together so it's all understood. And this is something that has been searched for literally hundreds of years. It was one of the things that Einstein struggled with. He wanted to find that unifying theory. So string theory is one of those that looks like it might possibly be there. It's still a theory. It looks like it might be there. And to just give you a really quick overview of string theory, I mean, just a quick understanding, basically string theory tells us that at the smallest level, we're talking the very smallest subatomic level, string theory says that everything comes down to these small little vibrating strings. And how they vibrate determines what is, if you will, what is created, or what the higher levels as it comes up to atoms, and well, the subparticles of atoms and what atoms are. And how they vibrate determines what they become and what they are. So the vibrations determine. Well, when you stop and think about that, essentially this is what the Word of God says. If string theory proves to be right, it's basically just lining up with the Word of God. The Word of God, so many places, tells us that the power of life and death is in the tongue. We can look and see that God created everything that we see, everything that is his natural world. He created it how? He spoke it into existence. Speaking is nothing more. What is speaking? Speaking is nothing more than vibrations. It's nothing more than just the movement, the vibrations. And you're talking about strings that vibrate, and how they vibrate determines what is going to be created from that. That's an amazing thing. So again, if you look at even the principles of the world, if you look at those principles through the lens of the Word of God, you see the Word of God is always true. And yet the world thinks it's wise, and the world thinks the Word is wrong. And too often as the body of Christ, we buy into those things that the world says. There's a lot of times you can look at Christians who will try to make the theory of evolution, which the theory of evolution totally abjectly contradicts the Word of God. There's just no way around it. And yet there's Christians that look at it and say, well, if the science is saying this is true, let's try to figure out how we can work this in and make it acceptable with the Word of God. You can't do that. If something is opposed to the Word, it's opposed to the Word. The Word is right. It doesn't matter what anyone else tells you. I guarantee you, at the end of the day, the Word is right. If you bring me something that scientifically looks like it's totally at odds and I can't explain why the science says this but the Word says something different, I guarantee you, at the end of the day, you're going to realize, maybe not the end of this day, but at the end of science will either discover, or when I'm no longer in this world and I get that understanding of things, I'm going to see that the Word of God was 100% right and the wisdom of man was not. This is the conflict that we really face right now in our culture. The world thinks it's wise, and it's not. The body of Christ buys into it, but we've got a responsibility to know the Word of God and to stand on the Word of God and to speak the Word of God. And when someone says something in your life that is contrary to the Word of God, it's really easy because science and those who believe in their own wisdom, they will ridicule, they will mock Christians, and you feel, as a Christian, you do feel like sometimes, well, I can't explain it, but the Word says this. And we don't defend the Word because we do feel we're mocked and humiliated. But this is what our role is, to speak the Word and defend the Word. So I want to look at 1 Corinthians. This is chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 17 through 20. I want to read these verses from the Amplified Bible. If anyone does hurt to God's temple, or corrupts it with false doctrines, or destroys it, God will do hurt to him and bring him to the corruption of death and destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, sacred to him. And that temple, you, the believing church, and its individuals are. So here Paul is telling us that the temple of God, which is you, you live, God dwells within you. You are three parts to you, your spirit, soul, and body. But you all dwell. It's what we can see is this physical in this body. And this body has become the temple because the Holy Spirit dwells within the body. When you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. This then becomes the temple. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God dwelt within the tabernacle or the temple. It was always there in the temple. But now the temple is not a building. Now the temple is you and I. Verse number 18 says, let no person deceive himself. If anyone among you supposes that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool. Let him discard his worldly discernment and recognize himself as dull, stupid, foolish, without the true learning and scholarship that truly become really wise men. So Paul goes on to say, even in Paul's time, the world always viewed things. If the world removes the Word of God and tries to understand the world around them and the things of the world without applying the Word of God, they're going to think they're wise, and yet they're foolish. They don't see it. They don't realize. They become a fool. They're actually dull in their mind. They lack discernment, worldly discernment, and recognize himself as a dull, stupid, foolish, without the true learning and scholarship. Okay, that's an amazing statement right there. True learning and scholarship of the Word. True learning and scholarship comes from the Word of God. If you're a student, if you're a college student especially, you go to college and there's very few, now if you're at a Christian college, obviously that's an exception, but most of the colleges in our country are as far away from the Word of God as possible. As a believer, if you're a believer going to a non-Christian college, you really have to know the Word, because they're going to try to teach you the things of the world, the things of truth and reality, but they're going to try to blind you because they're going to see it. They're going to think they're wise. And you can look at so many in the scholastic, so many that are in secondary education that are, I'm trying to think of a nice way to say it, they really believe that they are right and that you're foolish to believe the things of Jesus Christ. This is not a new concept. Paul dealt with it back when he wrote his letter, his first letter to the Corinthians. But this is what you need to know. The truth, true learning, and true scholarship comes from the Word of God. Everything that you need to know about life comes from this Word of God. You know, I've got a college education, and I value that college education, but I guarantee you this. I went through 4 years of college. If I'd have gone, my wife went beyond that and she got a master's. There are some people that go beyond that and they get, you know, doctorates. So let's say you've gotten through 8 or 9 years of secondary education and beyond. And let's say that you've got a doctor's degree. Maybe you've got multiple doctorates. Maybe you've gone through 10 or 15 years of education. I guarantee you this. All of that education that you've got, all that learning that you've received, valuable though it might be, it doesn't have the ultimate final truth. Everything that you need for life is here in this Word. that might take you aback a little bit and say, you know, I don't think that's true. There's a lot of things that are not in the Word that I need to learn. I'm telling you everything that you need to know. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's good to have education. You know, I love, you know, my wife, bless her heart, she buys me lecture series after lecture series. I probably have like 30 different lecture series from professors that will go through a topic, and there'll be half-hour lectures, probably 24 to 36 half-hour lectures on one topic, and I love them. I love learning those things. But every time I'm going through those lecture series, and they're not Christian. I mean, this is just professors from different colleges teaching on specific subjects. But when I go through them, I go through them through the lens. They're not teaching it from a biblical perspective. But when I go through it, I go through it with the lens, through the lens of the Word of God. And when you put every kind of teaching, everything that you see in this world, everything that you learn, there's a lot of things we can learn. There's great things. You can learn great things by going to secondary education, getting your master's, there's great things you can learn. But the only value comes if you put it through the lens of God and you see it through the lens of God, because this is where you get the truth. True learning and scholarship comes from the world. This is where you become really wise. There's a lot of people that know a lot of things, but they're not wise because they're not putting it. They're not viewing those things they're learning through the Word of God. And so it says that they lack that wisdom. Verse number 19 goes on to say, "For this world's wisdom is foolish, absurdity, and stupidity." Well, that's kind of strong. But if I'm looking at the things of the world, I'm looking at things that I learn, but I'm looking at it not through the lens of the Word of God, then those things which I'm looking at, it's foolishness. It's absurdity. There's a lot of people that have done that are brilliant in the world's eyes. There's a lot of people who are brilliant who are going to be looking. You know, Stephen Hawking is the name of, I think everybody knows who Stephen Hawking is. And brilliant man. There's no question, a brilliant man. But you know what? When he comes up against things that are contrary to the Word of God, as brilliant as he is, there's going to be a day when he himself realizes, oh, that was absurd. I see now that was absurd. Because the Word of God is, as Paul says here in the Amplified Bible, in his letter to the Corinthians, he says, true learning and scholarship is here in the Word. This is where you become really wise. So verse number 19, "And the world's wisdom is foolishness, absurdity, and stupidity with God, for it is written, he lays hold of the wise in their own craftiness." In verse number 20, "And again, the Lord knows the thoughts and the reasonings of the humanly wise, and recognizes how futile they are." The wisdom that you obtain that is not viewed through the truth, that is not viewed through even the scholarship, if you will, of the Word of God, anything that you learn that's not viewed through the truth of the Word of God is going to wind up being foolishness. And it's going to wind up being deceptive to you as all. And this is not just Paul. We can go back to Psalm 94. And we can see the same thing is spoken. So even the psalm writer, thousands of years before Paul, came to the same conclusion. In Psalm 94, verse 11, it says this, "The Lord knows the thoughts of man, and that they are vain, empty, and futile, only a breath." See, there's how many things, if you go back to even in the 1950s, go back to the 1920s, go back to the 1800s, go back to the 1700s, I mean, you can look at the time, the present moment, that some of the great thinkers came to some conclusions that they had, they seemed absolutely correct and they seemed brilliant at the moment. But as time went by, you look back on those things and you say, yeah, not so brilliant now. Now that we understand more, not so brilliant. God understands that the mind of man, outside of him, outside of his word, the mind of man and the thoughts of man outside of him and outside of the word, he understands that they're empty, vain, futile, and only a breath. So it looks brilliant right now. If somebody convinces you that evolution or something else, some other scientific thing that is now the standard, the norm, if they convince you that it's correct and that the Word of God is wrong, and by the standards of what you can understand today and what they know, they might present it and you might be able to look at it and say, well, yeah, it seems to make sense. It's only a breath. It might look real and it might look convincing now, but if it's contrary to the Word of God, I guarantee you it's not true. I guarantee it. Well, I don't have to guarantee it. God's Word guarantees it. God himself says it. And this is something that's been going on, obviously, since the beginning of time, as Paul even, not just Paul, but God also spoke through the psalm writer as well. Verse number 21 says this, "So let no one," and again, "the Lord knows the thoughts and the reasons of the humanly wise and recognizes them as futile, so that no one exalt proudly concerning or boasting or having this or that as a leader, for all things are yours." We're going to come back tomorrow, and I'm going to look at this again, and we're going to see that just how valuable the Word of God is for understanding, but also, as we learn from Paul, for correction and direction and instruction. So we'll see that as well tomorrow.